Now that I collect, I'm a collector. And I've always just seemed to collect personalities, ideas.
I can teach you how to bewitch the mind and ensnare the senses.
What democracy means is that on controversial issues, we debate with each other and persuade each other and vote on it.
The United States honors Harper Lee for her outstanding contribution to the great literary tradition of America.
Ronald and Nancy Reagan were defined by their love for each other.
Just know that things in this life happen for a reason.
Remember that when we fire you.
All the odds were against me, in the sense that it was very difficult for women to make it in architecture.
He lived his art. There was absolutely nobody like him, and there never will be.
One prediction, I'm not calling around. I predict that when I meet Joe Frazier, this will be like a good amateur fighting a real professional.
I've seen war. I've seen what it does to the victims. And the victims usually are children, innocent children. So I'm against war. You must stop evil before it becomes too powerful.
Come with me, and you'll be in a world of pure imagination.
And here's the golfer who is the master today, Arnold Palmer.
Today, the greatest choice before the Middle East, to be a Middle East independent political state.
I am trying to do my duty under the Independent Council statute and under the law.
Gwen was a friend of ours. She not only informed today's citizens, but she also inspired tomorrow's journalists.
That's the way they all became the Brady Bunch. The Brady Bunch.
Communist, well, wait for the history. The history will say what we are.
May the wayward be with you, Thomas.
Good Lord, ride all the way.
In Godspeed, John Glenn.
What a year 2016 was. And time paid tribute to a few of the people who have passed on, including quite a few others as well. And when we look back at our year, we think that all these things help to shape us or mold us or to change us, and they are very important. Because by knowing what's in the past, we also plan for the future. We plan for this new year, the things to achieve, the places to go, the people to meet, the ambitions to fulfill, so many things that we want to do. And yet, maybe we don't have enough time for everything. But there is one great reality check that we must be careful about. And maybe we don't want to think about it so much because this is still so early in the year that we don't need to think about this. And so what is this reality check that we should be aware of? Well, the good thing about the new year is a lot of people are sending a lot of messages and fake news and everything through social media. So I try to read through every trash before I delete it, except some people, I just ban them outright. But I came across this very interesting person who looked at a very interesting perspective of life. And of all people, I was fascinated by this Indian guru sharing some advice, offering some advice to his followers. Usually, I try not to listen too much to these things, but I thought his opening question was very fascinating. And the question to his followers was this: what is the most important thing in your life right now? So even as he threw the question open to his audience, anybody would want to venture, what is the most important thing in your life right now? Anybody? Don't worry, it's not right or wrong. It's a matter of how you see life. What's the most important thing in your life right now? Remain God's will? Anything else? Well, I guess this what Jennifer said is very correct. You know, we do offer a Christian perspective answer. It's always safe and it's always right, right? So that's good. Well, other people in the audience responded to him, career, money, and of course, being in India, a lot of people ask, what do I do with my worthless rupees right now? Because all the banknotes are not of any value, so they are very worried. So that's the most important thing in their life right now. But to the surprise of his hearers, to the surprise of his audience, this guru made a very interesting point. And he says the most important thing in your life right now is that you are alive. And because you are alive, all other things become important. Because if you are not alive, there is no importance to everything that you have thought about. Isn't that true? And that is very interesting. And just like in the movies, the crucial moment comes when someone shouts out, "It's alive!" as in Frankenstein. And that's when the drama, the action starts. Because up to then, while the creature is still dead, there is no priorities, there are no important things for this creature to think about or to strive forwards to. And so, being alive is a key point. And all our goals, priorities, how we see things flow on from there. Because if we are not alive, then it doesn't make sense for us to have all these things. But you know, in life, this fact that we are being alive does change our perspectives and our goals. Because right now you may have certain goals and perspectives that are die hard, cast in stone, and everything. But we may not. We may change our perspectives. So for example, when we get sick, we see things in a different light. When we are paralyzed, we see things in a different light. Our priorities change, our goals change. And of course, when we are dead, nothing matters anymore. And so this guru's solution is very simple. He says, the moment you realize you're alive, just smile and be grateful and live well. But what is our solution? Let's pray as we seek God's wisdom upon us this year. Father, I thank you for your grace. And Father, we know that life is deeper than just smiling and being grateful. Life is also about seeking you. So Father, give us your strength and your wisdom and by your Holy Spirit so that we can understand your word today and to live it in our lives. Thank you and we praise in Jesus' name. Amen. See, when I heard this guru, I thought it's really nice to hear that opening statement. But for Christians, the dimensions that we live in are far more complex and more deep than what this guru says. There is a lot of things that went through my mind that when I heard this guru. Because when we ponder and we sit back, or whether you're starting to determine your life's resolutions for this year, or to think what life is about, I wonder how we see things in the light of knowing Christ. You see, as Christians, we are supposed to be born again. And so we are made alive twice. Alive physically, like what the Guru says, but we are also alive spiritually because of what Christ has done for us. But you see, in our attachment of importance, in our attachment of priorities, many of us choose to satisfy ourselves, our jobs as our number one, our wealth, our relationships, our hopes, our ambitions, our rights, and even our own concepts of happiness. And many of us live as though Christ were dead in our souls. Why are we like walking zombies? And again, just to draw on the analogy of the movies, when you watch zombie movies, what do zombies do? They don't achieve much, don't they? They just walk around looking for humans to kill. That's it. They don't build buildings. They don't build bridges. They don't build lasting achievements. They don't see make important decisions. They just have very simple needs. But sometimes I look at how Christians live. We are like zombies. We don't have anything important in our lives. We live as though life is just going to pass us by quickly. Indeed, the Bible is true. It says this in Isaiah 40, verse 7. The grass withers and the flowers fade because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are like grass. We live but a brief moment on this earth. I showed you the video earlier because it's important to know who these people are because they have affected us in some way or other. And they have succeeded in whatever they have set out to do, in whichever field they are involved in, following their passions and how they see important things in their life and what they must do. But now they are at rest. They have passed on. And there are no more priorities in their life. There are no more important things to do. Whatever they had to do had been done. Whatever they had aspired to do, they had done it. And sure, many of them, we might see them as our heroes. But I suspect that for us, our lives matter than all of them combined because we have our own important things to do. So do we see that we have an important challenge ahead of us? That we need to ask ourselves some questions even as we face this new year. Is Christ important to us? Of course, we will say He is important to us. Our life revolves around Him. We sang a song earlier, you know, in Christ, we walk with Him. And apart from Him, we can't do anything. And yet, even with our lips, we affirm that without Christ, we are nothing. Yet, are we truly alive? You see, when you analyze those who have passed on, the dead doesn't care for priorities and the important things of life, of God. The dead doesn't care about living a holy life or a set-apart life. The dead couldn't be bothered with the Great Commission or loving others or reaching out to offer others maybe a cup of cold water. The dead just stay in their own graves, perhaps trapped by the boxes that contain them. And you may be asking me, why are you talking about the dead? You see, the sad thing is, many of us are living a life as though we are dead in Christ because we don't care about the things of God. We just don't care. Because if we cared, we would be alive. And just like the Guru said, we will be alive and learn to appreciate life, to appreciate God. But maybe we are not alive. Maybe we are really dead. And if we are dead, then all the things of God that we talk about, the Great Commission, the work, the outreach at Bunnings, all these things doesn't matter because we couldn't be bothered because we are dead spiritually to all these things. We are not made alive. And when we look back at Christ, what he has done for us or done with us all these years, I wonder as we reflect upon the past year, do we see how we have walked closely with Christ in all the things that we have done and all the things we have aspired to, our achievements, our goals, our dreams? I wonder whether we have reflected that we have done all the things in the past year with Christ in mind, because we are alive in Christ. As John 15:5 reminds us so well, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And yet, isn't it true that so many Christians think that they can do so much in this world apart from Christ? We have a challenge today, a far deeper challenge than just being thinking that we are alive. But today's passage in Philippians goes much further. It talks about the mind of Paul, how Paul thinks. But I wonder whether we think the way that Paul thinks. If you turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1, verse 20, this is a great passage. And perhaps this is a good memory verse for us, especially chapter 1, verse 21. So that's a 1-2-1. So that's an easy one for me to live. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. That is a very powerful verse. But as we look at verse 20, Paul's pride, priorities, and understanding his importance, he's realizing he's being alive from the very beginning. He's alive not only physically, but he's alive spiritually. In verse 20, he says that Christ will always be exalted in his body by life or by death. In other words, Christ, according to Paul, is always number one in his thinking. Number one in his reaction and his plans and his hopes. That's what keeps Paul alive. And so when you read the scripture, the epistles, the letters of Paul, you can see that Paul is alive. And his words still challenges Christians today because of him being alive in Christ. And that's why he mentions in verse 21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. For he realizes, you see, apart from Christ, there is no life. He is dead if there were no Christ. And so Paul spreads the word and he carries out the work. And you know his results, don't you? This apostle to the Gentiles, this apostle to the non-Jews, he didn't know it back then, but we today are those Gentiles that have read his words and his work, and we have turned to God because of what he has done nearly 2,000 years ago. We are alive today because Paul responded to the key calling of God in his life, and so the heritage comes down to us today. And yet we see, reading on, in verse 22 onwards, for Paul, he only has two choices. And yet today many Christians think we have three choices. You see, for Paul, the two choices are this, verse 23, that he wish he would die so that he will be with Christ. You see, a lot of people don't want to die today. Of course, it's all obvious. We all don't want to die today. Because to die means we have to let go all the things that we think are important. And yet we don't realize that being alive itself is the most important thing. Because being alive physically and being alive spiritually is the most important thing that we should realize. But Paul here says, I've done my work. I'm ready to go. I would rather prefer to die and be with Christ so that all these so-called trivial things of life will be over and I will be with Christ. But he does qualify in verse 24 to 26. But I remain on this earth so that I can continue to encourage the saints, that I can encourage all the believers, so that they will be true to their calling, true to God's task, true to carrying out God's burden for them, so that the believers' joy will overflow. This was Paul's wishes, his two wishes, to die and to live. Because for him, it is very obvious. There are no other choices for Paul. But yet, when we come to people who call themselves believers today, we think we have a third choice. We have a choice that is not in the Bible. We have a choice that we think that we can still do it. We can still be alive. We think we can go on living a life where God's priorities doesn't matter. In other words, we think we can go back to live our old life. We think that we can still sin and choose to continue to sin rather than to follow God and to forsake the past. If that's the case, we might be as well be dead in our sins. We have studied in the book of Matthew, probably the most hateful thing that Jesus hates is being a Pharisee. Because a Pharisee is one that puts on outward front, but inwardly they are corrupt. They are empty. They are devoid of God's Spirit. They do all the things, even religious things, and they do them so well. They go to church or in the temple in those days. They pray. They give offering. They do all these things, and yet inside them, their heart was never changed. And Jesus hates that the most. And perhaps that's what is a warning to us, that God hates those who are not true to themselves, that they are living a lie, that they are really dead, rather than being alive in Christ. And if that's the case, why do we bother to even smile like what the good guru suggests? Because by just smiling, we just hide the pain that is inside us. And if we are true believers, as we claim we are, shouldn't we be grieving for our sins? James chapter 4, verse 8 tells us this. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. We have a problem. We think we always can choose the third way. We think we can have a compromised life in this world, and we can still make it to heaven. But the Bible makes it clear. If we are double-minded, if we are persisting in not following God, if we are persisting in choosing to follow our own way, there is only but one solution. There is only but one outcome. And that outcome is death. And we have remained in death. And perhaps that is one thing that we don't see it for ourselves, because it is a spiritual death. It is a spiritual death that we have suffered right now. But we don't see it until we see God. But God challenges us over and over again. Even in the Old Testament, in Joshua chapter 24, verse 14, it says, Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. from the Old Testament to the New Testament, it makes clear we have to choose a side. And we have to remain in that side. We cannot have a foot in both camps. We think that we can be alive in the sinner's camp and we can be alive in God's camp. The Bible makes it clear to us. Either you are dead or you are alive. There's no a bit of. Andrew, you work in a hospital and you know the matter of life and death is very important, because when an ambulance responds to an emergency call, they have to make sure whether the patient is alive or dead. If the patient is alive, there are many procedures that they need to put in place to keep the patient alive. But if the patient is gone, other procedures take place. And more often than not, the frenetic activity, the energy that is expended on the patient will cease, because they realize the patient is dead. There's nothing more they can do for this person. But if we are alive, we have to spend the energy to keep ourselves being alive, because then there hangs everything else that is important in our life. There hangs all the priorities that we need to implement in our lives. We cannot go back. Paul makes it clear, he has only two choices: to live in Christ, to be alive in Christ, or he's going to be dead, but to Christ as well. We cannot choose the third way, because in choosing the third way, we are actually spiritually dead. And if we are alive, things change, how we look at things. Now, Paul says in verse 27, "And if you realize you're alive, whatever happens," Paul says, "conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you." There are some things we need to do once we realize we are alive spiritually. And Paul says in verse 27, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, that you stand firm in one spirit. So, and if we are alive in Christ, what are we doing today? What are important things? Surely the important things to us, after realizing that we are alive, is to seek the things of God. There is no turning back. There is no other way. Was 2016 a great step forward for you in your love and knowledge of Christ? Or was it a backward step? Was 2016 a great year for you that you could look back and say you fought for your faith, and you fought for your faith to be strengthened at all cost? Or were your faith wavering and you were not where you are at your best? Was 2016 a best time of your life? Were you truly alive in Him? Or did you think the third way would be the way that you want to live? Was 2016 the year you took a stand for Him and finally said, "We refuse to go back to the old ways, to the dead life"? And if you choose to follow Christ with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, might, and all your strength, you will experience that great joy that Paul says here. Because when you know you're alive, you know that just as Jesus promised in John 10:10, that I am come that you may have life and have it abundantly. You see, when you know you are truly alive, you will experience the abundant joy, the abundant life. You won't just experience life. Your life will change dramatically. But the last point I want to leave with you is this. We live in a land of great freedom and wealth. Many people are coming to our land, our shores, to live this life here. In fact, Terry just brought some friends, new migrants, to Australia. But in the midst of our richness, in the midst of our wealth, are we really alive in Christ? Because we think we have time. We have time to change our priorities. We have time to think about things, to dabble a bit in sin and in heaven. And we think that we can still be all right. Well, the good guru reminds his hearers, the watch is ticking. The watch is ticking away because the watch is not telling time. It's just telling how much time you have left on this earth. And as the more the watch ticks away, the less time you have on this earth. We all have a limited time on this earth. The question is, do you want to be alive today or do you choose to remain dead? But yet for others, we see our challenge today is just on spiritual life. But for others, living a physical life is very difficult. And so I want you to watch this video. The challenges that these people face are far more than us. And yet the spirit in them continues to live because they want to be alive. And I hope that this analogy will also flow down to us, that we want to be alive, not just physically, but to be alive spiritually. And in so doing, we will live life abundantly. Let's watch this video.
There, we came across a sight which pained us deeply. This is Esther. At first, I thought she was a boy. And this is her older brother, Sam. Their behinds were shriveled and laced with deep lines left by their shrinking body mass. Their legs were tiny bones covered in dried out skin. It was clear to me that starvation had pushed these helpless kids to the verge of death.
This little boy is 7 years old. Look at the size. Look at my camera. 7 years old. What are we gonna do?
Severe malnutrition leads to death. It stunts growth and forces the body to turn on itself for food. Sam is under 3 feet tall and weighs under 20 pounds. Both Sam and Esther were also afflicted with polio. Neither of them could walk. We could not imagine why they were abandoned, left starving, lying hopelessly in the dirt. As we tried to absorb the nightmare before us and figure out what we should do, a little girl emerged from the bush.
This little girl is the sister of those two little boys, and she was actually cooking for them at one point. Can you imagine?
It was Sam and Esther's older sister, Jane, a very small 8-year-old. She had walked miles to fetch water in order to bathe her brother and sister. We and our cameras attracted a crowd. The sight of the kids paralyzed the crowd. They could only stand in horror and watch. We watched in utter fascination as this little determined girl bathed her siblings. While most 8-year-olds are busy playing, Jane faced a life and death situation alone. She could not feed her hungry brother and sister, but she could see how dirty they were, and it was within her power to take a long walk for some water, lug it back, and bathe the kids. Little Jane, a hungry child herself, assumed the awesome duties of a parent.
Hey,
To look into the face of a suffering child is to see the depth of humanity and the heart of God. And we are able to drop all vestiges of our selfishness and desire nothing more than to see another experience relief and joy. Most organized religions, sadly, devote much of their time and energy to defending dogma or destroying dissidents. When kneeling before a fragile little boy like Sam, those kind of petty and immature religious practices dissolve into a sea of insignificance. Love is all that matters. And love compels us to reach out to Sam and Esther. Size and age, all by herself to walk God knows how far to get this water to go up and bathe those kids is beyond anything I could ever imagine. She's like a little hero, a little heroine. Amazing fortitude and strength inside the people here, even at this young age, to know what to do and how to do it. Pretty astounding. There, we came across a site.
God has given us many blessings. He has given us a lot of privileges. We have been alive, yet others like Esther or Sam or Jane find it so hard to be alive. They are so hard to be alive physically, and yet we can be alive physically and spiritually. Why won't we pick up God's privilege to live this life to the full? And when we are made alive in Christ, we will reach out to people like Sam or Jane or Esther. Because if we are dead, we couldn't care less about people like that. This world needs us to be alive. God needs us to be alive. We need ourselves to be alive so that we can respond to God's calling for us. Let's pray. Father, we don't often ask ourselves, what does it mean to be alive? And when we think we are alive, we think our priorities matter more than yours. We think that because we are alive, we can do what we want. We think that because we are alive, having a feet in both camps is okay for us. But Lord, our time on this earth is short. And we are here only but for a while. And you have made us alive for a reason. You have made Paul alive for a reason. You have made the Christians alive for a reason. And we are here today because of you. And this life that we now live, we want to live it to the full with you. We pray for this world, so many unfortunate people, children, parents, older folks, many of them are suffering through wars, famines, and even plain hatred. But remaining just alive physically is just so difficult. And yet, Lord, we who are here, who have a good life, can choose to go back to a life of death, a life of chaos, sadness, and pain. We fail to obey you. We fail to follow you. We fail to be alive in you. We fail to see what you want us to do. Father, each one of us have a plan. And Lord, I pray for all of us here today that this year will be the year that we are truly alive in you, truly alive to your priorities, your plans, your will, and not that our will be done, but that yours will be done. That we will humble ourselves and submit ourselves to you, and so to love you more each and every day. That the name of Jesus be lifted up in our lives, that whenever someone looks at us, they can say Jesus truly lives. And because he lives, we live too. Father, help us in our life. Help us to be truly alive, to be born again. And so we show the love of Christ and the life of Christ to the world around us. Help us, give us strength through your Holy Spirit. And in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.